Hello and welcome to Blogosphere Serious Influence, the podcast all about the business side of the influencer industry. I'm Alice Audley and I'm the founder of Blogosphere. We run events, an influencer network, a magazine, and now a podcast too, which I'll be presenting. If there are any questions about the influencer industry that you want answered, be sure to tweet us your suggestions. Our Twitter handle is @BlogosphereM. Today on Blogosphere Serious Influence, I'm joined by Jessica Payne, who is the Chief Community Officer of Syncfold. Syncfold provide claim-free music for all types of content creators.
My name is Jess Payne and I'm the Chief Community Officer at Syncfold. It's a music platform that is designed to give YouTube creators claim-free music for their content.
And how have you ended up in this role? What was your, kind of, when did you break in your career? What's your background?
So as you may expect, working for a music platform, my background is very much in the music space. And actually working with influencers is not something I ever anticipated, but has happened quite naturally and organically. Music was always a huge passion of mine growing up, and I went on to study a performance course. Not really sure whether that was where my heart really lay, so then went and studied music production, and then still not quite sure I went and studied music business, and then that was where I found my true passion, wow, working with artists.
Where were you studying?
I studied at the Academy of Contemporary Music in Guildford.
Mm-hmm. And then what was your first job? Then you studied, the last thing that you studied was the business of music, and then what was your next step?
Yeah, so I actually started out in the music industry at a sync department at a boutique publishing company, actually also based in Guildford. And that was a really interesting first job because it gave me my first little taste of working in very closely with musicians and people picking up music for their video content, but also working very closely with the marketing department. So it was a very small team there, so I was able to get really sort of hands-on with everything from email marketing to building up that rapport with our clients, which was, a great first job.
And is that, from there that you moved to Syncfold? How did you get your job at Syncfold? And what was the first experience you had of sort of coming across creators and influencers and working with them?
Yeah, so actually my career is so, it's such a hodgepodge of things. I ended up kind of bouncing about in lots of different music and arts places before I landed at SoundVault. So following on from Platinum Sound, the publishing company, I ended up working very closely with artists on the Isle of Wight after I spotted a gap in the market for a recording facility and rehearsal rooms. And that came from because I live on the Isle of Wight and saw that there was not a facility like that. So did that for a few years. Also dabbled in writing and have published a number of books, and then worked as a project manager, managing Arts Council grants projects for creative writing, music and visual arts projects. And then it was after that that I went on to SoundVault, which is Syncfold's parent company. And very similar to my first job in the industry, it was working on sync licensing projects, primarily for film, TV and advertising.
For people that don't know exactly what that means, sync licensing, could you explain just a bit about what that is specifically?
Yeah, sure. So sync licensing is the license that's required to pair up the music to visual content. So you have two different rights. You've got the master rights, which is the sound recording, and then the publishing rights, which is actually like the bare bones of the music, like the song lyrics and melodies. So you have to get those rights cleared to be able to use the music in video content.
Right. And this is where you then found SoundVault. So SoundVault's the parent company and Syncfold is within the umbrella. Are there any other companies within the umbrella of SoundVault?
Not yet. So you mentioned about how we first came across creators, and that was because SoundVault, as it catered music for different avenues, film, TV, games, advertising, we also started to cater for the online music space and online video space as well. And it was then we started getting YouTube creators approaching us, asking if they were able to use the music claim-free. This confused me at the time because I was so used to dealing with publishing and master rights, and was like, of course, we've cleared the rights. And then, of course, learnt about the the black hole that is Content ID on YouTube.
Mm.
And that actually was the kind of pivoting point for when we started SyncVault. And we created this dedicated platform that gave creators the opportunity to get completely claim-free music that was completely cleared for use in their online video. And then as we were developing that product and that platform, we started getting artists, like commercial artists, asking if they could add their tracks to it. So we moved away from production music.
Yeah,
that's music specifically written for for video use.
And that started... sort of more of an Epidemic Sound kind of art list?
Exactly, yes. Music that's solely created for that purpose. And started getting in commercial artists, so those that you'd have their music on Spotify, you'd go and see them play, you'd buy their merch, those kind of artists. And we realised there was this real gap that we could fill by giving creators claim-free music, and on the flip side, giving artists, like great up-and-coming artists, the opportunity to connect with these creators and reach their audiences.
And what year is this sort of happening? When was SyncVault founded, and when did SyncVault, the platform, launch?
So SyncVault has been going for a number of years. I believe that was 2009 that the platform SyncVault first existed. And SyncVault, the spin-off, was launched in 2020. So right in the thick of the pandemic.
Forget about the pandemic.
Yeah, let's move on.
We might have a monkeypox one starting, so... That's great. We've got to just be out of these pandemics.
Oh, yes.
So if I am a creator and I come to the SyncVault platform, can you explain to me how it works? What do I have to pay for? You know, I can use that music on my YouTube videos. Can I use it on my other channels? How many licenses can I get? How many times can I use them? There you go, that's a lot of questions.
All good questions. Okay, so the first great thing about SyncVault is that it doesn't cost creators to sign up. There are no sign-up fees or like monthly fees that happen. It's not a subscription service. So kind of dissimilar to Epidemic in that sense.
Yeah.
Any creator with a YouTube channel can sign up to SyncVault and can use our music completely claim-free. What we started last year, probably about 18 months ago, was incentivizing creators to use this brand new music. So creators, once they've added their channel, our creator team looks through and checks that, you know, are they creating good quality content? Is it original? Are they posting frequently? Do they have an engaged audience? And if they tick the boxes on those markers, then we invite them to become one of our like verified creators. And that means they can get paid when they use our music.
Do they have to have an amount of subscribers on YouTube? Is that one of the...
It's not actually. So we recognise that regardless of whether you've got, a few thousand subscribers or a few hundred thousand or even million subscribers, there's merit and there's value there to be had. The kind of threshold we look at is that they are getting at least 1,000 views on their YouTube content. And that's because that's when the payment kicks in. That's when we can start paying the creators.
Yeah, so how does the payment system work then?
Yeah, so what we currently have is every time a track is downloaded from SyncVault and added to a piece of YouTube content, we issue a unique license key for that track. And then what we do is every 24 hours, we're scanning YouTube, we're looking for our license keys, and then we can attribute those to the creators and to the correct track. And then currently we're paying on a CPM basis. That is looking to change very soon. We've got some very new exciting developments happening where creators are going to get paid like guaranteed earnings on a flat fee basis with the ability to have CPM in addition to that.
Yeah. And that's then they'd be getting paid because they're getting the views and then the track is being heard. So is that sort of marketing budget then from the musicians themselves to promote their tracks? Is that how?
Yes, exactly that. I think that... working with influence is something that's so interesting to artists, and being able to tap into those different audiences. And we know from brand deals that working with influencers can be really beneficial. And we're starting to see artists willingly do that. I mean, of course, there's going to be a little bit of hesitation in some areas, but those that have budget, they see this as similar to as you would with a radio plugger. You pay that plugger to get the track out into radio stations. We see it as kind of like plugging with influencers.
Mm. it seems like win-win. When you're looking at the, you're scanning every 24 hours for the license key, is there any risk that a creator's content could be paused or demonetized or not shown to the right audiences whilst you scan? Or is there...
No, not at all. There is absolutely no no negative implications for the creators at all. It just happens seamlessly in the background. So, no, nothing to worry about on that front, which is great.
Yeah, very great. And then in terms of the platforms, we've talked about YouTube. Are there other platforms that you're looking to serve? I mean, I know a lot of the other platforms sort of have little bits of music to them, but when you download, then the music gets taken off, or it's still kind of a problem area. But is it mainly YouTube, or will you be looking at others?
That's a great question. So even though we started with YouTube, and of course with YouTube Shorts, there's this great opportunity there. We are also looking to branch out into TikTok. We know that there's some really great collaborations and things happening with artists and creators in that space. So we're very keen to build on into that as well. Mm. And then soon after, we will be looking at Instagram as well.
Yeah. And how are you going about building the community of creators and also musicians? You're going to events, festivals?
Absolutely. Events are so, so important for us. And this year is especially exciting because we're actually able to get out to things, which is wonderful. Yes. But actually, a lot of our community building efforts, it's very manual and very organic. We reach out to creators that we think are a good fit, that we think would benefit from the platform, and that would also work well with the artists that we're bringing on. It is very manual. And we invite people in. And of course, it's not for everyone, but those that do come through, have really great feedback.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really expedite trust that much. So actually going out and speaking to people, and there is that education piece around it, seems very important.
Oh, absolutely. And as you said, the face-to-face element of going to events and festivals, that can't be replicated via email or even on Zoom calls. Like obviously, we've got very familiar with holding meetings and things on Zoom. But nothing can take away from the importance of that like face-to-face relationship and developing and nurturing those.
And have you done any actual creator marketing? So getting them to promote SyncVault as a platform?
Not yet, but it is on our agenda. So we're working on some really exciting developments for the platform as we speak. And that's come from a year of trial and error, testing things out, talking to lots of creators, talking to our labels and our artists as well, to develop a platform that's not only fit for purpose, but is something that people want.
Yeah.
That it's a product that people actually are excited by and will come back to time and time again. So based on all this feedback and all the learning we've had over the previous 12 months or so, we're developing a new iteration of the platform, which will be hugely exciting. Mm. And then from there, influence, as I said earlier, we know how beneficial that can be. So we will be looking to have those key relationships with creators that we think are a good fit for us to help bring other creators in. And I think that that ambassador approach and the affiliate model is going to be a huge thing for us.
Is that something that you think that you will handle in-house, or do you think that you will look to an agency?
That is an excellent question. Currently, we haven't actually decided. Mm. We know that because we're building up this community of creators that we do have access to them, and we can build up that rapport. But actually, there's real benefit with outsourcing that and letting someone drive that, and also not only drive it but have their creative ideas. I think sometimes you can get so close to something you can't see the wood through the trees. So having a different perspective is always welcome. And there are some really great agencies out there that we'd be more than happy to explore working with. So it's I would say it's nothing's off the table yet.
well, that's interesting, because that was what my next question was going to be. When looking at an agency, do you think that because it's so closely tied, with creator, that you'd be looking to work with a sort of lean creator agency, or would you be looking to work with one of the sort of bigger organisations that maybe has an influence department but also manages TV and things like that?
Mm, I think I think we'd explore all avenues. I'll be honest. I think we would explore everything that's available out there that we feel would be a good fit for us. And then a lot of that, as we were saying, we're building up the rapport with creators. It's down to those relationships that we'll have with that team, with that agency. So yeah, from there, I think we'll make a decision on whether we outsource that or keep it in house. Or
What type of qualities? When you are going to be, you know, if you are looking to work with an agency, what do they kind of, is it the creative brief, the relationships that they have with creators? You know, when someone, if say I'm an agency and I'm like, hey, Jess, you should work with us, what would you be looking for me to say? I think that'd be quite useful for some of the influencer marketing agencies listening. You're probably get an influx of people being like, I want your business. Sorry.
No, all good. When we would welcome those conversations, I think first and foremost, like, it sounds like an obvious one, but for them to really understand what our product is before we even have, like, you know, the sit down chat about what are we going to do with it, and for them to understand the space that we're in and who we're looking to target. And then it comes down to that element of trust. Like, can they deliver to us and help us achieve what we need to achieve with this platform? I can't mention any names, but we had been in discussion with an agency and they were fantastic. I felt that right from word go that they totally understood where we were going, not just right now in the current moment in time, but where we were looking to go into the future. And I think being able to have that big picture kind of approach to it is really helpful, even if then you're bringing it back to, okay, yeah, we can see where you're going, but let's bring it back to the now.
Yeah.
Having that understanding means that there's longevity in that relationship to be had.
Mm. And is, you can't name names, but is that an influencer marketing agency specifically, or?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah. And then when it comes to deciding, you know, it's a big undertaking, but you won't be sort of dabbling in it. You're going to have it as part of your strategy. So in terms of allocating budget towards influencer marketing, is that something that you're like, this is how much we want to, and then there's some negotiation with the agency, or are they saying, actually, maybe you don't need to put that much into this channel? You know, what's that sort of early conversations look like?
Yeah, I think that we're really lucky. We have a wonderful head of marketing here at Syncvault that joined us this year. And so obviously she's overseeing all the marketing activity that's going to be happening, including obviously the influencer marketing, but then our paid digital marketing, events, PR, and all those different strategies and how they kind of tie together. So I think our approach would be to identify what portion of the budget we can allocate to influencer marketing and then have those discussions and see where there's room for negotiation and what we can get for that kind of budget.
Mm. And then just back to the platform and the different genres of music you have on there, could you talk a little bit more about what a creator could find there and how the search functionality works?
Yeah, of course. So we actually have quite a wide variety of different genres. I mean, I'll be honest, our catalogue's not going to be as big as Epidemic Sound because it's a very different proposition. The music that we have on there covers everything from like acoustics, kind of singer-songwriter, indie pop, rock, hip-hop, grime, electronic, kind of everything you could imagine in like the contemporary music space. And we do add new music every week, although it's only available for 12 to 16 weeks because that's how long our campaigns run for. The great thing about that is if you use the music in that period of time, then you've got it in perpetuity. We're not going to suddenly issue a claim sort of 6 months down the line. But it does have that element of freshness about it because tracks are coming and going all the time.
Mm. And then with on the copyright, you have that in perpetuity. Do you think that there, you know, how many people are still being stung with copyright claims and what impact can that have on people's YouTube content?
I think it's still a problem. And I think that unfortunately it's something that deters a lot of creators from wanting to work with working with artists directly, and especially smaller artists. You know, we've heard before of artists that have had like one particular company looking after their content ID and then moving that elsewhere, and then there being things lost in translation where a creator's been hit with a claim, like unfairly so. So I think that does deter a lot of creators from wanting to work with artists.
Would you have a sort of Syncvault festival yourself with artists from the platform where creators could come and then maybe afterwards pick songs that had been performed to add to their tracks.
Oh, I'd love to do that. That's something I'm going to add to my future planning, I think. I've got a list of wild and wonderful ideas that I want to do for the platform. That's going to go on there.
Yeah, that would be really fun, wouldn't it? How have you seen, just in your experience of working with creators, it sort of develop? And what are your personal platforms that you go to watch creators and things like that?
Do you know what? It's a mixed bag. Obviously, all the creators that come through to Syncbolt, naturally I get to know their content and then I become fans of their content. So a lot of that tends to be on YouTube. So I say that is probably my kind of first go-to, although I'm starting to see more on TikTok as well. I'm very late to the party with TikTok. But yeah, definitely starting to see some content on there that I enjoy.
And so where do you hope that kind of Syncbolt will be in the next 6 to 12 months? And do you have any kind of key performance indicators of how many people you want to onboard and what's the plan?
Yeah, I think what I'd love to see and what we're definitely working towards is opening up more opportunities for creators, not just on YouTube and in Shorts, but on TikTok and Instagram as well. I would love to see that our community, you know, builds and develops and grows, not just here in the UK, but globally. It's wonderful, actually, our community does have like a large portion of Spanish creators because we work with a Spanish MCN and they've onboarded a number of those. And I think what I'd love to see is, you know, more creators jumping on and benefiting from what we have to offer.
So you're using a multi-channel network in Spain. What other territories are you present in? And so is that which is your biggest market, second biggest? And
UK, obviously UK is huge for us just because that's where we are and we're able to build up that rapport with creators here. We do have across Spain and Latin America, we're starting to see more creators due to our link with the MCN there. But we have creators all across America and Canada as well, and a good selection across the rest of mainland Europe too.
Mm. And what sort of, we mentioned that a creator can come on, they have to be verified, they can use the platform, and then when it goes over 1,000 views, they can start to make money. What sort of figures is sort of realistic that a creator could be making now, and where do you see that progressing to?
Yeah, so currently it really varies based on the views. So a creator coming in with around 50,000 views will make around $50 for their music use in their content. We're looking to open that up with our new verification system in the new platform so that there's more like increased earnings available at a higher CPM, but with a fixed payment. So it's calculated in a way that feels a lot fairer to the creators.
Mm. So a fixed fee and then anything above that they can earn from as well.
Exactly. So what our new system will do is it calculates the average views that they get. It looks at the previous 10 videos, calculates the average, and then shows what they'll get as a guaranteed earning when they use the music. If, however, that video like completely flies and does really, really well, then they'll continue to be rewarded on a CPM basis.
Mm. And then when you're onboarding the artist and it's sort of the marketing budget, are you going mainly to labels as well? And then is that where the majority of the revenue and marketing spend comes from, or does that vary too?
That varies quite a bit as well. We do work very closely with a number of independent labels, although we see quite frequently managers bringing their artists in very, very hands-on and very proactive and looking to spend, you know, marketing on influencers, like marketing spend on influencers. Mm. And then we also have artists that are very grassroots, that are just starting out and that are getting pretty savvy with their own marketing plans. And so I'd say it's a mixed bag.
And who in the market at the moment, we've mentioned Epidemic Sounds, would you say that it sounds like you're doing it differently, but do you have competition and how, in your words, would you say that you do differentiate?
I think we do have competition. Epidemic obviously have their subscription model, so it's kind of different. I mean, they have claim-free music, but they don't incentivize the creators in the same way that we do. They don't at all. Creators have to pay to use that platform. And we know there's a host of other music licensing platforms out there for creators. What we are seeing is more platforms emerge that are incentivizing creators. I haven't seen any doing it across YouTube yet, but I have seen the TikTok and Instagram and even Snapchat popping up.
What are your views on Snapchat?
I was dreading you asking that. I don't actually.
Sorry.
Hands up, I don't use Snapchat. My daughter does, avidly.
But that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, because... and of course, yeah, she's of the Gen Z era.
Because they had Gen Z, and then it sort of went off, and then they have managed to recapture the hearts of the next one. Or millennials when they were younger, and now Gen Z. So it's going to be interesting. They've actually... invested in the UK creator team now, so there are a few faces that have moved over. Google, one from Facebook, well, formerly Facebook, now Meta. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there.
Yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on. I think I'm going to need to brush up on that one.
But you relate to the part of your TikTok, but you what does TikTok serve you? What's your algorithm offering there?
So TikTok, the way we're working on TikTok is slightly different. So with YouTube, we give the creators that unique license key I mentioned, and then we're scanning. The way we're working with TikTok is completely different. So currently, it's very, very early days, we're running a series of challenges that gets the creators to come in and respond to a creative brief. And then they submit their link if they want to be part of that, and they get incentivized based on view thresholds. So it's a slightly different approach. And then we'll see how that develops, and then what API access we can negotiate.
And is that then how you would see, because, you know, TikTok's the next on the list, and then after that, how you could work with Instagram?
Yes, I think the challenge for us is... we know that there's clear benefit in working with those platforms. The challenge for us is trying to take out steps for the creator, because we don't really want them to have to create the content, then submit a link and then wait for payment, or we want to have it as seamless as possible. So they can just do what they do best, which is creating content. And then we take care of the techie stuff in the background. So that's why we're testing it out this way with TikTok, and then once we've figured that out, we'll move on to Instagram as well. And then it's just having those conversations with those platforms.
That is very exciting. What would you say, just as my final question, the thing that you enjoy most about your job and the future?
I love the variety of it. So I think the great thing about being in a community space, or in a community role like I am, is that you get to talk to a lot of people, and I'm a very people orientated person. So, building those relationships and developing, the way that we can work together is something that's very, very exciting. And I think just what we're working on with the platform, opening up those different platforms is one avenue. But then we're also looking at different ways that we can work with the artists. So it's not just about simply promoting their tracks with creators. It could be an upcoming tour, or it could be something else they're working on that's really exciting, and getting those creators and artists to collaborate together. And I think that's where this kind of space is so exciting, because it's constantly evolving, and you're only limited by really your kind of creative ideas.
And, it's your head of community, but... as an industry, this is one that is so community driven. I mean, that's the blood of it, isn't it?
100%. 100%.
You've been listening to Blogosphere Serious Influence with me, Alice Audley. For more influencer industry updates, be sure to check out www.blogospheremagazine.com.